Ho ho! Welcome to Claude
And Trey
from
Whatever
You Wanna
Say. That's the name of the show, you betcha.
Is that how we usually do the intros?
No,
I totally blanked.
You totally blanked. You said welcome to Claude and Trey with whatever. I don't know. It's Claude.
I don't know.
You normally
Y'all
say
get the gist.
You normally do your intro and then you're like, it's Claude and Trey from Whatever You Wanna Say. But it's fine. It's fine.
They know. They
They've
know
been
by
around
now.
The block.
You know. Jenny. Jenny from
yep,
the block.
Her too.
All right.
Okay,
continue.
Thank you. Thank you for your permission. So, this is the second Christmas theme episode we have today, guys. And Claudia is going to be bringing us some true crime that we love. True crime podcasts, mm-hmm. We always get amazing on those. So, duh. And it's going to be a Christmas true crime.
Ooh, ho, ho, ho. Spooky and Christmassy.
Please excuse me while I leave after that. But, so, I think this episode is going to be really awesome. I also have some cool life updates. And it's going to be great. So in order to get to all that cool information, we obviously have to start with our question of the day. So rocking around the Christmas tree, go to Claudia.
Wow, thank you for that rendition.
So sorry for anyone musical out there. I did not do a good job.
I think we just, every single episode, we just offend someone who's, like, musically talented, and they're like, oh, man, and they have a podcast, and they have a podcast.
Is it an episode of our show, though, if there isn't some weird off-key musical number?
This is, our podcast is a musical. I think so. I think our podcast is a musical.
I think it is. Okay,
going off of that, so the question of the day is, what has been your favorite Christmas present that you have received?
Okay, well, I don't know if this is my favorite one, because I've been very blessed. I got lots of nice things on Christmases mm-hmm. past, because I've been very good as a child. I was an amazing child.
A good little girl.
Sure, no one here can rebut that, so that's what we're gonna go with. I was an amazing child. But when I was in second grade, I got a computer, not a laptop, like a desktop, you know, so they were pretty much going out of style by the time I was in second grade. But it was like, you know, the monitor, the computer, keyboard, the whole shebang. So I could,
wow.
You know, I was really into typing things. I was really into
you really wanted to be a receptionist when you were
yes.
in second grade.
I
you were
was
training.
Practicing. I don't really know why I thought I wanted this or needed this. It was totally cool. I really loved it. It was in my room. So cool. I could play my video games.
Wow.
I had a Hello Kitty game. It was so cool. I had another one about horses. It was so fun. But I should not have been given this computer because it gave me a superiority complex.
A lot of power right there. You had a lot of power.
I literally went to school. Everyone's like, yes, I got this. I got these clothes. I got American Girl doll. And I'm like, really? Because I got a whole computer, okay, that's in my whole room right now. And then this one girl, mm-hmm. I remember when we got back from Christmas break, like our teacher was like, oh, you know, tell me one thing you got for Christmas, everyone. And this one girl was like, I got a laptop. And I said, do you want to fight me right now? I have a computer. So I just really remember having anger towards that girl who tried to upstage me. I'm not going to say her name on this thing, but I remember exactly who it was.
Shout her out.
But I could literally be like, you remember that? She'd probably say no. But I was really mad. I don't think I actually verbally assaulted her, but I was like, you can sit right back down, okay? Girl, I have a whole computer, so please just park it over there. So that's the funniest story. So, but that's the present I thought of.
That's very impressive. You must have been really good. Santa brought you a whole dang computer,
like
put
I
in
said,
your
I
room.
Was incredible. Very good.
So my favorite Christmas present, I don't know, as you said, we are blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Girls. Hashtag blessed over here. So I'm just going to go with a recent present that I got that I really love.
Is it from me? No. My Christmas card?
Yes. And my favorite Christmas present that I've gotten recently has been my weighted blanket.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to explain it to you because some people might not know the wondrous joy of
Please
a weighted
explain
blanket.
Explain it to me and the people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have sleepless nights? Are you tossing and turning every so often? Ugh. Who likes that? You know what you need? A weighted blanket. Do you have anxiety? Do you feel uncomfortable sometimes? Like you can't rest at all? You know what you need? A weighted blanket. You just throw that bad boy on top of you. You ain't moving. You feel like you've been wrapped up in a hug for the last 10 years and you're never getting out.
You should really look into voice acting.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Infomercials.
Yes. Home Shopping Network.
I mean, I could have a full day of stress and people just being mean to me and making me cry. I throw that bad boy on top of me. Oh my gosh, I'm out. I'm out like a light. I'm rested. And it's a deep, deep rest.
I'm so happy for you and your rest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Everyone else is too, you know?
We're
I'm just
all
a better person in general.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Claudia, I think I might have told you some of these fun facts about me, my life updates. So you can tell me if I've already told you, but I'll tell all the fine people here listening on our show today as well, except my dad, who already knows. So thanks, Dad, for being involved. Okay.
Keep on running.
Okay. So guys, I'm graduating college, you know, at the end of the semester, literally days left that I'm a college student. I know. Crazy. So that's one thing, but I know you knew that, Claudia. But then mm-hmm. the second thing, guys, is now I'm renting a house.
A house?
Me
with
and
who?
Abby mm-hmm. and my brother.
Wow.
The
whole
fam bam. Yes, we're right renting house. A house. She's such a precious little house. She has like a cottagey feel, but also a modern feel. We love her.
Wow.
And that is like the most adult thing I have ever done in my whole life is rented a house.
It's a whole day
it
house,
is.
You know?
But thankfully, like, you know, I'm smart because I have two roommates. So,
mm-hmm.
but yes.
Where at? Is this?
It's where I'm at school. So you can come visit.
Oh. Please. Yes.
I'm staying in the area on account of I got a job.
Stop it.
Yes.
Keep going then.
Well, it's only a part-time job, but it's better than nothing. And it's at like Mathnasium and Khan Academy and ACT prep places.
Yeah.
It's one of those tutoring facility things. So
fine. And you're already doing that.
That's
stuff
my
like
job
that,
at school.
You know?
So I know I have a job and
that's
a
very
house
exciting.
And a degree.
Oh my gosh,
a boyfriend.
You know what you need?
Oh.
A dog. Oh.
Two different ways.
Practically the same thing.
Oh
but
my word. So yeah, but that's all my
wow
my big news.
That's very exciting. You're turning into a whole adult
right
in front of
me. I'm
in
the adult game.
You definitely are. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I need mm-hmm. to step up.
I mean, you're fine. You're fine. But
thank you.
I do have my own home, so you can come to my own home.
Oh. Thanks. Maybe I'll come live with you.
Yeah.
Ooh. Maybe.
Only time will tell. Also, Claudia, I do think, I didn't tell you this when we were prepping for this podcast, but I do think we need to take a moment of silence for everyone's favorite TV show host.
Oh my gosh. I was going to text you. Okay, I forgot about it.
We'll have a moment of silence for Alex Trebek, guys. May he rest in peace. I love Alex Trebek.
Oh my gosh.
He's so cute.
What a guy.
I love him.
I don't think nobody had a negative thing to say about him. Every single person loves him.
Everyone does. He does Colonial Penn Insurance. He does Jeopardy. Probably a lot of other things.
Oh my gosh. They had like these videos, like these tribute videos kind of things on the internet that I was searching. Went down a dark hole. Well, not really dark. It was quite light. Of Alex Trebek videos. And oh my gosh. There was this one guy and he was on Jeopardy. And he told Alex Trebek, he was like, I feel like I have to say Alex Trebek, not just Alex. I don't know why. Alex Trebek. He was telling him, he was like, you're the reason why I learned English. And like, I watched you with my grandfather. Oh my gosh, did I tear up?
What? Yes. If you didn't tear up, are you even human?
No. And I was like, oh my gosh. It was really beautiful. They had some sad music in the background. Oh man.
Oh no. But anyways, just had to pay my respects to Alex. Love him. Alex Trebek, guys, in case you were still unclear.
It is Alex Trebek.
So, anyways, off that sad note, let's get to a spooky note with some true crime.
Ooh. Alrighty. Buckle up, guys. Click. Okay. Oh. Ooh. I just want to start off by saying, originally, I really wanted to do it on? JonBenet Ramsey, but I cannot possibly do that justice in the amount of time that
we need to do a whole series on JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh my gosh, a whole series like it would have
but
to be
I do
like
definitely see the Christmas connection. That would have been such we need to do a series after Christmas though.
So
we
good
do, like we could definitely do a three-part JonBenet Ramsey series.
It would at least have to be three parts. There's so much information out there and just, it's insane. Okay. So originally I wanted to do JonBenet, but I'm not going to do that to you guys right now.
Yeah.
Later.
when we've had time to prepare.
Yes. I would actually have to do my homework on that one. So I decided to do the case of the missing Sauter children. Some people might have heard of this. Some people might not have. And if you really wanted to get a really good explanation of everything and people who actually do their homework and actually try really,
but
really
you
hard.
You do a good job. Don't sell yourself short, Claude.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm like the Cliff
Notes
of these mysteries.
To garner interest.
There's a really
that's
good.
What you do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. People should be paying me. People should be paying me. Am I not being paid for this? there's a really good YouTube video. I don't know if you've heard of it. BuzzFeed Unsolved. Oh my gosh, you need to look it up. They put a new episode out every Friday. They do like seasons, and right now they're in the middle of a season. So every Friday they put an episode on YouTube, and they either do they have seasons. So like one season will be mysteries, and then the next season will be like like supernatural kind of things.
Yeah,
so like paranormal. Ghosts and stuff like that. And they exactly. And they like visit these places. So there's a really good YouTube video on BuzzFeed Unsolved, and it's on the Sauter children. So if you wanted to get a good explanation, I would definitely go there and listen to that. All right, so let's get started. So this is happening in Fayetteville, West Virginia. And it is Christmas Eve, 1945.
Oh, this is a long time ago.
Yes, yes. So there's this couple, George and Jenny Sauter. And they have 10 children. They have Sylvia, who is 2 years old. And then they have Betty, who is 5. Jenny, who is 8. So that might be a little confusing. There's a mom, Jenny, and a daughter, Jenny. Okay. And then Lewis, who is 9. And then they have Martha, who's 12. in George Jr., who's 16. And I forgot about Maurice. Maurice is 14. And then Marion, who's 17, and John, who's 23.
So these kids are all spaced out a lot. Wow.
Oh, yes. This was 1945. Not much to do except for have children, I'm guessing. Anyways, so one of their sons, I'm guessing the 23-year-old John, he was away in the army, so he's not here at this time of this thing that happens. Okay. So it's Christmas Eve, 1945. George and Jenny Sauter, mm-hmm. the adults, and nine of their children went to sleep. At around 1 a.m., a fire broke out. George and Jenny, mm-hmm. the mom and dad, and four of their children escaped. The four children that escaped was Sylvia, Marion, John, and George.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then five of the children were never seen again.
Okay.
Ooh, here we go.
Spooky.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw it out there, you know, let people sink in that five of the children are missing. And they still are to this day. Okay. George, the dad, he tried to save them. He, like, broke a window trying to go back inside the house and, like, really hurt his arm and his skin. But he couldn't get up the stairs because everything was on fire. So he saw that the four of their children had escaped, and they had come from downstairs, or they come from upstairs, the upstairs bedroom, where they all shared a bedroom, and they had made it out. But then he noticed that five of his children weren't there, so he thought that they were upstairs. So he raced back inside, couldn't go up because of the fire, so he came back outside, and he always had a ladder propped up against his house. But this ladder on this night was missing.
Of course.
So he thought, you know what? I will drive up two of my coal trucks, like mm-hmm. C-O-A-L, coal. I'm really hoping there wasn't any coal inside of them. Because that's probably a bad idea. Anyway, so he was like, I'm going to drive these coal trucks up to my house, climb on top of them to reach the windows so I could mm-hmm. get inside. Mm-hmm. And save my children. But when he tried to turn on the trucks, they wouldn't start, both of them.
Oh, that's weird.
So the next thing, you know, naturally, we have to call mm-hmm. the fire department. So his daughter, Marion, sprinted to the neighbor's house so the neighbor could call the fire department. And they tried to call, and there was no response. Like, the operator wasn't responding. Mm-hmm. So another neighbor who saw the fire, mm-hmm. like, blaze, tried to call the fire department as well. Again, the operator didn't respond. So a neighbor actually had to physically drive into town, and track down the fire chief.
Yeah.
The literal fire chief. So he could, start this phone tree of, like, mm-hmm. firefighters, so they could go and set out the fire. The fire department was only 2.5 miles away, but the crew didn't arrive until 8 a.m. Granted, this fire started at 1 a.m. That is 7 hours. By the time they got there, the fire was out. Clearly, because they had burnt down the entire house, and all that was left was a pile of ash. So, mom and dad, George and Jenny, they just assumed that five of their mm-hmm. children had died. And then the next day, which is Christmas, they're looking for remains, and they couldn't find any. And the fire chief, suggested that the blaze was so hot that it completely cremated the bodies.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm. So George or let me start over. So the police inspector combed through the rubble and said, oh, like this fire was due to faulty wiring in the house, like the lights. And George, in his grief, he covered the whole basement with dirt and he built like a memorial for five of his children who he thought died there. And just before the new year, the coroner's office issued five death certificates for the children. But then George, he started wondering if his children were actually
dead. Okay.
A little background on George. George, he actually was born in Italy and immigrated to the United States when he was 13. And George was very open about his distaste for Mussolini, which probably wasn't the best idea. You know, he was running around bad talking this guy. Very dangerous man. So this is a little bit about George. Okay, so he has some enemies.
Italy
and Italy in general, an enemy of George. And then there was this guy who came by the house. He was selling insurance. This is before the fire started and happened. I think it was a few weeks before the fire happened. Insurance salesman comes up and he's talking to George. And George, apparently they had a heated argument. And the insurance salesman said, your house is going to go up in smoke. And your children are going to be destroyed. And that you are going to pay for what you've been saying about Mussolini. So, yikes. I guess that came true. And people wonder what happened, you know? Like, this guy literally laid out everything that he was going to do. And everyone's like, I don't know. I don't know if he did it. I'm not.
Basically confessed, but that's fine.
Yeah, basically told George everything he was going to do and how he was going to kill his children. Anyways, so that morning, Christmas morning at 12:30, the children had gone to bed and everyone was asleep, but the telephone rang at 12:30 that morning. Okay, granted, the fire started at 1 a.m. So 30 minutes before, Jenny rushed to answer it, and an unfamiliar female voice asked for an equally unfamiliar name. So Jenny says that there was like laughter in the background and glasses clinking. So like maybe people celebrating something. Jenny said like, "Oh, you have the wrong number." And hung up, and then she went back to bed. But she noticed that all the lights downstairs were still on, and the curtains were open.
I don't know why this is scaring me so much. The lights are on.
And the front door was unlocked. And she saw Marion asleep on the sofa in the living room, and just assumed that the other kids were upstairs in their bed. Then she turned out the lights, closed the curtains, locked the door, and returned to her room. She had just like started falling asleep when a loud bang was on the roof.
I bet it's and then not like Santa.
definitely not. And then a rolling noise, so like something being dropped maybe on the roof, and then it rolling down the side of the roof. And then an hour later, she woke up and there was heavy smoke in her room. Okay, so the fire had started. So Jenny, this is the mom. Jenny couldn't see how her five children had died in the fire, okay? So George and Jenny are just not about this whole idea that their children mm-hmm. are dead, okay? Everyone else is saying that, oh, yeah, they're dead. Like, the fire was so hot, there's no bones left. So she conducted a private experiment using animal bones.
Okay, to see if a fire can really do that.
Exactly. So she set them all on fire, you know. And every single experiment she had, it couldn't mm-hmm. get that hot. The fire had to be, over 2,000 degrees. And it just couldn't get that hot. Even when you're, cremating mm-hmm. a body, this is strange that I know this, there's going to be remains left.
It's not just dust.
You know, there's pieces of bone. Right. Exactly. And their house, and that's for, 2 mm-hmm. hours, you know, you're burning a body for 2 hours in a crematorium. And this house, their house, was destroyed in 45 minutes. So this fire had only been going for 45 minutes. So one, the fire wasn't hot enough. Two, it didn't burn long enough.
Yeah.
And then the whole... the police chief saying that it was faulty wiring is kind of called mm-hmm. into question as well, because the lights were on when Jenny woke up. They were on downstairs. If there had been faulty wiring, the lights wouldn't have been on mm-hmm. or anything like that. And a telephone repairman told the Sodders that their lines appeared to have been cut and not burned.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Okay. So that... remember when I said there was mm-hmm. a loud bang and then something rolling off the roof? One day, the family was visiting this memorial site that they built for the five children. And they found a hard rubber object in the yard. And that's when Jenny was like, whoa, I heard something hitting the roof and rolling off. And George, concluded that it was a, quote, pineapple bomb. Apparently that's a type of bomb or something that's used in war. I'm not sure. So it's just, it gets sad, okay?
It's sad.
I mean, it's all around sad, but, it's sad. Comes reports of sightings of the children. So a woman claims to have seen the children in a mm-hmm. passing car while the fire was in progress. And then another woman was at a tourist shop between Fayetteville and Charleston and said that she saw the children the morning after the fire. And then a woman at a Charleston hotel saw the children's photos in the newspaper and said that she had seen 4 of the 5 a week after the fire. When police questioned her, she said that the children were accompanied by 2 women and 2 men, and they all looked Italian. But she doesn't remember the exact date.
Okay. So various. It wasn't just one person. There was multiple people saying that they... okay.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And it's sad because, you know how... there's just rude and mm-hmm. bad people out there, okay? And there's these people that will put themselves in an investigation and mm-hmm. just lie. Saying, there was one instance where someone sent a note to... George and Jenny and said, one of your daughters is, I think it was in Louisiana or something like that, and she's down here in a convent. And George followed all of these leads. Every single one of them, he mm-hmm. went and checked them out. So in 1947, George and Jenny sent a letter to the FBI asking for help.
Yeah. Sounds like they're very serious about trying to figure out what happened. They're driving a lot of the investigation themselves. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The local police didn't really do anything except for say, oh, this was caused by, this is an, like, caused by the wiring in your house. Like, your children are dead.
Yeah. So they're kind basically. Of trying to do all this on their own.
Yes. They're very adamant that their children are still alive, which any parent would want to have that hope and, like, not give up. So, good on you, George and Jenny.
They seem to be pretty upstanding here.
They are. They're great parents. Great parents. So, whenever the FBI came to Fayetteville, the police and the fire department refused to cooperate with them.
Suspect.
Mm-hmm. So, next, the Sodders hired a private investigator. His name? C.C. Tinsley.
I love it.
Isn't that great? So, C.C. Tinsley. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have to say the entire thing the entire time. He, like the great investigator that he is, went and tried to find the insurance salesman who threatened George and practically told him, I'm going to burn down your house and take your children.
The obvious lead.
Exactly. So, C.C. Tinsley, I don't think he could ever find him. He couldn't find the insurance salesman. But oh, here's where it gets weird. This whole thing is weird. Here's where it gets extra weird. So he heard C.C. Tinsley, talking about C.C., my boy C.C., he heard a story about a Fayetteville minister who was telling people that he had discovered a heart of one of the children in the ashes, and he hid it inside a dynamite box and buried it at the scene.
Why?
So at the memorial. I don't flippin' know. So CeCe, my boy Tinsley, he tried to talk him into like showing him where he buried the box, so maybe they could finally like put this to rest. So he did. He showed him where he buried the box. They dug it up, and took it to a funeral director. The funeral director concluded that it was beef liver, and it had been untouched by the fire. So this wasn't even a heart. This guy had made
big
up the entire thing.
Big phony baloney.
A big phony. He's a big phony. So I don't know what that was about.
Just a weirdo.
Just a weirdo. Just a weirdo in this whole thing. So over the next few years, a lot of tips and leads would come, and, George would go after all of them. So they, okay. So in 1968, this has been more than 20 years after the fire.
In 45 that it took place. Okay.
Yes. So it's been a very long time, and Jenny got a envelope in the mail that was addressed to her. It had been postmarked in Kentucky, but there was no return address. Inside of it was a photo of a man in his mid-20s. And on the flip side of the envelope, there was a handwritten note that read, Lewis Sodder, I love Brother Frankie, little boys A901 32 or 35. Okay, all of that is in quotations. So that is exactly what it said. She and George thought, hey, this actually does look like Lewis, who was 9 at the time of the fire. They had the same dark curly hair, dark brown eyes, a very strong straight nose, and there was a lift up, like a tilt on his left eyebrow. So they hired a private investigator and sent him into Kentucky, and they never heard from the private investigator again.
Did he die? Oh my
God. We don't know. Isn't that just, I feel like that's like one of the strangest parts of this entire thing.
That's spooky.
So, so they actually, I think it was like for 40 years, or yeah, for about 40 years, anyone who is driving into Fayetteville down Route 16 could see a billboard, and on the billboard were the images of the five children asking for, mm-hmm. like, help in finding them. That had been up for 40 years. Like, so these parents never gave up. So sad. And, like, there's no explanation. Like, that's it. You know, we were not going to get, like, a...
Yeah, no resolution.
Right, because they're still technically missing.
No. Those kids.
Bumming me out. Yeah, super sad. Sorry. Oh,
that's interesting. I've never heard of that case.
It's very interesting. In theory, though, some
of them could still be alive. They would just be really old if you were alive in 1940. Mm-hmm. If you were a kid in the 40s, you could be, like, you'd probably be in your 90s now, but you could be alive.
Yeah. Sylvia, mm-hmm. who was 2 at the time, she's still alive. And I think she's the last one who's
out of the 4 still that alive. Were saved. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And including her parents. Duh.
Yeah. Can you imagine being the siblings of these people too? That is so sad. So just never know what happened to your sister, your brother.
Right. It's just it's crazy, and I don't know what I believe. Yeah. You know, that's like the craziest thing. Like, I can't pick one side
There's
or the
so
other.
There's so many unknowns, and all these weird things.
Right.
Not enough facts.
They really got, like, no resolution in any of their questions. Like, why did it take 7 hours for the fire department?
Right. They could have walked there in 7 hours.
They could have crawled there. They were only, like, 2.5 miles away.
It's ridiculous. I want to look up more about this, but... Amazing. But, guys, I don't even know, like... What do you guys think out there, our listeners? This is pretty wild. But next episode, we're not doing true crime, okay? I'm feeling hashtag bummed. So we will be back with some Christmas cheer next episode for sure.
Yeah, we're going to sing a Christmas the entire episode.
Just singing. That's it. I promise we won't do that.
We won't do that.
Definitely we'll have a more uppy episode. Next one, but hope you guys are having fun. Have a good Thanksgiving. This episode's going live a week before Thanksgiving, so have a great Thanksgiving. And until next time, just keep talking.
Bye.